Racing HQ, brought to you by Tab's new Odds and Evens. Simply pick whether the first two place getters will be odds, evens or split. Gamble responsibly.
The tweet has come this morning from Rob Waterhouse. Very sad that we've lost my father, Bill Waterhouse. He left us peacefully with his family by his side. He was in great spirits till the end. He enjoyed a great day with his great-grandchildren just last Sunday. And there's a photo of that. This morning, we want to pay respect to Bill Waterhouse. And Ken Callender is joining us here on Sky Sports Radio. Welcome, Ken.
G'day, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, mate. Obviously, the Waterhouse name has been around racing for such a long time, but the history of Bill Waterhouse, even just while we've passed on that news in the last half an hour, you go and Google, and it's just an unbelievable story that Bill has given racing.
Yeah, I've been around the betting ring for about 55 years, and he always struck you with his nonchalance, Big Bill. Someone had come over and have a couple of thousand, which might have been a lot of money in the 60s. He'd just nod his head. It wasn't unusual to even see him eating an ice cream while he was betting on his stand. Very, very laid back. But, money, I think, was just a tool of trade in those days to Bill Waterhouse.
Ken, it's Sean Cosgrove here. He saw out a few fair dinkum putters like Frank Duval, the Filipino Fireball, I think Eddie Birchley, the Fireman, a few of those were around, and Bill survived them all.
Yeah, well, I think that they welcomed blokes like Eddie Birchley, who lost the late pours on. But he bet Frank Duval and the Filipino Fireball, who had a string of horses with Dick Roden at the time.
Yeah.
And Bill bet them, and he bet them well. Bill and his brother Jack were both bookmakers. Jack bet on the interstate ring. Bill did too at first, but then he switched over to the local ring. They were very big gamblers, and Bill used to go to Melbourne in the 1960s, and Albert Smith, a big Melbourne bookmaker, would come up to Sydney for the carnivals. And Bill might have been down there for the entire 4 days of the Flemington Carnival, and Albert Smith would be up here for the Randwick Doncaster Carnival at Easter. And Andrew.
No, I was just going to say, he was known as Big Bill. He was the king of the bookies. At times, he was regarded as the world's biggest bookmaker. At that time, bookmaking life was different to what we see now, when thousands were at the track. Listening to people and just listening to you there, he certainly wasn't afraid of taking someone on.
No, and he had a pretty big bank to back him up. They were pretty smart businessmen, the Waterhouses. They had a string of hotels, the Hotel Charles, named after a brother of Bill's who died in the 1950s. There was a Hotel Charles in McPherson Street at Bronte, which is prime real estate. There was one at Chatswood. There was one down on the south coast at Fairy Meadow. And they had other business interests too, Bill and Jack. And Bill had three kids, Robbie and David, who were both bookies, or Robbie still is. David's been in everything. He's been everything from an art connoisseur through to a gambler. And Louise, Bill's daughter, who was a lovely lady who I only met a few times through Rob.
Ken, the interesting thing is Bill, I think, had a law degree and at one stage was in the law practice with one of his brothers, Charlie, and he saw his older brother, Charlie, pass away, apparently from the stresses of a law practice, and he went bookmaking. I would have reckoned there'd be more stress on bookmaking than there would have been in law.
Well, I think Bill graduated from Sydney University just after the war, I think 48, 49, and he was a classmate at University of Neville Ryan, who was later to become the Labor Premier of New South Wales. And they were always good friends. And Bill then, I think, practiced law as a barrister for, only 6 or 7 years. And then, as you said, Cozzy, he switched to bookmaking. Philippe Ismail, I was trying to think of the correct name of the Filipino Fireball. When you get old, you forget these things.
And the other bloke, and they had good names, Ken. The other bloke was the Hong Kong Tiger.
Yeah, that's right. But some of his biggest clashes were with a bloke who shouldn't have been betting, who was the secretary of the rural bank. and he later finished up in the caboose.
I can't...
He did. I just can't believe back in this time, I mean, $1 million is $1 million, whatever time of life it is. But he used to just stand there, from what I'm learning, and he just said, come on, if he thought he was right, he'd just let him come on.
Andrew, you've got to remember that in those times, the Randwick Rails was the centre of the gambling universe. Now, the centre of the gambling universe is probably a computer in an office in Collins Street, Melbourne, or George Street, Sydney. But in those days, the action was in the centre of the rails. And when I first went to the races, Lenny Berg and Les Tidmarsh were the biggest bookmakers on the Sydney rails. Bill Waterhouse was betting interstate, but then he came onto the rails and was pretty well straight away the biggest bookie there. And you could probably buy a three-bedroom house adjoining Randwick Racecourse at Kensington then for about £5,000, and it was nothing for them to bet like $6,000 to $4,000 every second bet. Well, if you were betting in those names now, you'd be betting them $6 million to $4
million. Yeah, yeah. No, exactly.
In one day in 1968, he lost $1 million and was just nonchalant about it. He must have had a fair bit of chaff behind him.
I bet you his ice cream was melting that day, Ken.
He might have been nonchalant, boys, but I tell you what, it would have hurt him deep down. Bill was like all bookies. He didn't like to lose. And when Robert first started, and Robert was a pretty clever bloke from the time he left the Shore School to become a bookie, but Bill used to send him to places like Fairfield Trots and, Wentworth Park Dogs with very little money in his bag and tell him, look, the secret wasn't to go there with money. The secret was to come home with money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Sean.
Was he an opinion bookie or a percentage bookie?
Opinion bookie.
Yeah,
his books were like, he knew maths as good as anyone. And he could make a book if he had to. But he bet the man a lot, and if he didn't like a favourite, the book would be very lopsided.
It would be. Well, mate, our condolences obviously go to the complete Waterhouse family with the passing of Bill Waterhouse at the age of 97. Our thoughts are with them, but he gives us so much to talk about, and we're obviously going to reread some of these stories over the next day or two. Ken, we appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
Yes, thanks, boys. He was a man of a different era. That era has, unfortunately, in my opinion, passed on.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Ken. Ken Callender joining us there to reminisce about the life of Bill Waterhouse, repeating, passing away at the age of 97.